All right, good afternoon, everyone. I will call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Director Davis.
Here.
Director Holtaway.
Here.
Director Klipstein.
Here.
Director Maglione.
Here.
Director McElroy.
Here.
Director Payne.
Here.
Director Riley.
Here.
Director Romano.
Here.
Chairman Walton.
Here. Now, adequate notice this meeting has been provided as according to the Public Meetings Act by posting throughout the year on the bulletin board here in the building, providing notice to the newspaper as required by law. Please rise to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we move on to the approval of minutes, we have somebody new, right? John's not been to a bank board meeting.
Yep.
So to the bank board, John Meyer is our counsel for the Highlands Council as well as for the bank board. Many, many years in public service as well as an attorney, so we're very glad, proud to have him. It was a lot of search process, I can assure you. And he's been with us for, what, 6 months? Is that long?
Since October.
October, okay.
Close.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. I look forward to getting around and introducing myself to each of you individually. Thank you.
All right, we have approval of the meeting minutes from August 6, 2015. So if you can remember that far back, we move to approve it. What are the motion?
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. Any questions? Call the roll.
Director Davis?
Yes.
Director Holtaway?
Yes.
Director Klipstein?
Yes.
Director Maglione?
Abstain.
Director McElroy?
Yes.
Director Payne?
Abstain.
Director Riley?
Yes.
Director Romano?
Yes.
Chairman Walton?
Yes. The next order of business is the resolution for election of officers. Mr. Maglione, Mr. Holtaway agreed to resume their positions for another burdensome year. So with that, I'd like your motion to approve the resolution as amended.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any questions? Call the roll.
Director Davis?
Yes.
Director Holtaway?
Aye.
Director Klipstein?
Yes.
Director Maglione?
Yes.
Director McElroy?
Yes.
Director Payne?
Yes.
Director Riley?
Yes.
Director Romano?
Yes.
Chairman Moore?
Yes. All right. Yes, congratulations. The bulk of the information that I have is for Chairman's report is also the same thing that will be the Executive Director's report, and also, I guess, Jim Carroll will be speaking to us as well about what's been going on in the last 9 months or so. So we'll move right on to the Executive Director's report.
Yes, this is the highlight of our meeting, and I think we'll set the stage for meetings in the future. James and Carol are going to report out on the Highlands Open Space Partnership Funding and the Highlands Development Credit Purchase Program. Carol is our communications officer, and I've asked her to speak on our outreach program for the Open Space Fund. Not that that's the purview of the bank. That's the, like, it's a bifurcated program, and that really is the council's thing. But I wanted you to understand what we're going to do in the way of outreach, since you are all out there in the open space preservation community, and we look to you to maybe steer people who are interested in preserving their lands and the not-for-profits who are, and state and local governments that are interested in doing it in our direction if you think they need our help. So that's kind of where we are. I'm going to start with James, and I have to say, I have to give James really all the credit in the world, because he wrote the rule, first one for our organization, and he has really done so much to make this a reality. So,
thank you.
So, you're welcome. Thank you.
We met last in August. You probably don't remember, but we talked about the rule the council was adopting at the time. It includes two parts: an open space matching grant program that provides up to a 50% match for nonprofits, state, county, and municipal entities to preserve land in the Highlands. And the second program, which is the program the bank will be administering, is the HDC Purchase Program. The rule was published for public comment. The council took public comment, prepared a comment response document, and eventually adopted the program, and it's going to be published on April 18th in the New Jersey Register, at which time it will become effective. The HDC Purchase Program will be administered by the bank as a committee that was established by Chairman Riley from the Highlands Council that includes members of the bank board and members of the council. So what will happen is applications will be received, they'll be reviewed by staff, presented to the committee of the Highlands Council and our equity committee, That committee will vet those applications, and then they'll be brought to the bank for review against the standards of the rule. Now, the standards of the rule are generally the same as the initial purchase program, with the big exception of the priorities that were established for purchase. Now, obviously, you'll remember the initial purchase program and the problems we had with the financial hardship determinations. So the financial hardship is no longer a priority category. The priority categories are all based on standards of the regional master plan. The regional master plan sets priorities for preservation based on identification of parcels of special environmental zone or extremely high value targets for preservation. It then establishes targets for both ag and conservation priority in medium and high categories. And then it also, because a lot of the money that's coming for this, or all the money at the present time is coming for preservation, is coming from the PSE&G project, the mitigation fund there, there's a priority been established based on the comprehensive mitigation plan that was approved by the council for that project. So those are the standards you're going to be reviewing under. The administrative processes for closing, vetting the applications, environmental review, site review, allocation and valuation of all those applications is all going to stay the same. I think the biggest difference you will see is that you'll see the entire application, you'll see every detail of the application, and you'll be presented to make a determination on all these applications at once based on the priority we established and based on the recommendations of the subcommittee. Right now, we're looking, and the resolution, we're looking to accept applications or issue applications as soon as the rule becomes effective, so that will be April 19th. We'll start soliciting for applications. We're right now looking at a July 8th deadline for those applications. That could potentially allow us to turn around the applications for presentation to the count, to the bank at the August meeting. We'll have to see how many applications we receive. Based on the volume, we may ask you to reschedule that meeting or move it out to a different meeting because the August meeting is August 4th, so it's very early. That's a quick turnaround. So again, we'll just have to wait and see what the volume is. And how we're going to solicit applications, I'll let Carol go through the outreach program we've developed. There's an outreach program not only for the HDC purchase program, but also for the open space matching grant program. Again, the open space matching grant program will be administered from staff to the Landowner Equity Committee, but that side will go to the council for review. So it's going to be a bifurcated process where the bank does the HDC side and the council does the open space matching grants.
Right, so in terms of outreach, because it is a program that has primarily two components, we've approached it similarly but slightly different tracks. So we've got the materials ready and pretty much ready to go, and as James indicated, the HDC purchase program will launch immediately following the rule being published in the register. There will be a public notice that will go out announcing the deadline. Then we will be reaching out directly to allocation holders. These are folks who have been engaged in the program, the prior program. We'll be providing them with a high-level overview that sort of summarizes what's in the rule. We will also include a copy of that portion of the rule that applies to the HDC purchase program, and there will be an application in there with them as well. And the cover letter, obviously, sort of summarizing all this and directing them back to James primarily, as well as the website where we'll have additional information, pretty much the same stuff formatted slightly differently. After that, in addition, we're going to do a larger external push via media to try to capture any potential applicants that might not have known about the program previously and try to get some pickup on that. In terms of the matching grant program, it's similar, slightly different. We will also do a public notice, and we're going to try to space these a little bit because since the programs are both coming from us, we sense that there might be some confusion externally, even though we're targeting different groups. So we're going to try to put some space between them. But in that case, we'll be reaching out directly to prospective partners, government entities as well as nonprofit organizations that could be potential funding partners for the program. Similarly, they'll get a cover letter, a high-level overview of the program, a copy of the rule, just their portion of the rule, as well as an application package. In addition, there will also be an information session held probably at this office. We will also offer that program as potentially a roadshow for organizations if there's interest. Since this is new, we're going to kind of gauge the interest, but we're preparing a presentation-style event. There will also be event opportunities, tabling opportunities. We actually had one last Friday. There was a land conservation rally in Trenton, and James went down and a couple of other staff members, and that's why the brochure you all have in your package was kind of prepared in anticipation of that event, and they also got anyone who came to the table was ill, they could get a copy of the rule as well. And it was very clearly labeled that the rule has not yet been published or adopted formally, and that the deadline is TBD at this point. But we figured that was a good opportunity to try to get out with the potential funders and partners that we wanted there. There's also a Warren County Preservation Day coming up in May that we've secured a table at, so we're going to try to do that as well. We believe that as well. We think that will be similar types of audiences. And then there will also be a media push on that as well to try to capture anybody that we haven't thought of in our list. And that's pretty much it. We would also do a big media push after our first closing, of course, but, you know, that's going to be a bit down the line. That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
What are the projected deadlines for the partnership side of the house, the open space program side?
I think we're looking at probably after Labor Day. I think that application is going to have a lot longer lead-up time for somebody to actually apply because it needs, you know, there's a lot more information we're requesting. So I think we'll be probably looking at September 15th-ish, somewhere around there. The council will establish that with Margaret. That'll also allow us to separate both for administrative purposes and, as Carol said, for notification purposes. And that'll give applicants a lot more lead-up time to apply.
Have decisions been made about how much funding is going to be allocated to the different programs?
No, it's been made flexible on purpose. The council has recommended that $9 million of the $19 million be released initially, and that will be distributed based on what's the applications we receive. One of the things we're going to have to do is have these application rounds submittals overlap at some point, so then we can make recommendations on how the money's going to be distributed between the two programs.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we're not saying we will spend the $9 million. We're not just going to spend because we have a limited number of resources. And part of the reason we pulled back on that is to make sure that we get out to enough people so we're those most harmed that might not know about it has the time to get up to speed on what's going on and finding other, obviously, partners.
So is the $9 million for both of these programs this calendar year? Is that kind of right?
Yeah. Up to 9 million.
Up to 9 million, okay.
With some flexibility, I guess, even if we want to go over, you know, but...
Yeah, the 19 million is completely at our discretion. We chose 9 million as a starting point for this. It's certainly not, doesn't mean we cannot exceed it. That's also the something we have to spend up to it. It's purposely flexible to see what kind of applications we get. We don't know what kind of quality we're going to get from both TDC or not TDC, but credit applicants nor open space applicants. Just have no idea what to expect. The open space program, to be clear, we are only funding up to 50% of a project, and we are not going to be a stakeholder at all in the project. We're simply going to be a funding source. So it's going to be a county entity, a municipal entity, a not-for-profit that will own the easement or own the land. We won't own it. We won't be responsible for any of the upkeep of it. We're just going to provide funding to help buy it. We're not equipped as a council to do all that stuff. We're just going to accept just a funding part.
And one of the things that happens in the nonprofit world is the first thing you have to do is you have to find a target property. And those of us in that business know that it doesn't happen very fast, typically. We were just talking about Lionel LaBelle. I started working on that one back in probably about 2006. When I was there. Here it is, 2016. They just closed 2 months ago or so. So it's good to hold for the council to hold money back so that these other ones have time to mature, because I've discovered that everyone you talk to is, oh yeah, I'm interested in preserving my property, but that attitude doesn't necessarily ripen right away. You know, they got to go through their family and complications, and so. Setting money aside, I strongly agree with that, and also extending, and I think September 15th may even be fast for the average nonprofit that does have something in the wind. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I hope there's a really good response on the partnership funding side. I hope we're going to get an update on the receiving area piece of this. you know, frankly, we should be, as a bank here, the buyers of last resort. So hopefully we'll see little, very little activity on, at least in this initial round, on development credits being purchased. In hopes that the free market system works and that we have receiving areas and there is that balance.
That's the challenge that we're struggling through with this TDR program is receiving zones. And the law does not provide for mandated receiving zones. And I've said this many times, it is a flaw in the law. And I think it's a fatal flaw. And that, not everyone is convinced that it's a fatal flaw. We have provided multiple grants to municipal entities to do TDR studies. There are many municipalities that are in the Highlands region that would make good TDR receiving zones, towns that have rail stations, towns that have easy access to interstate highways, things of that sort. And I don't think any of them has come back and said, we're ready to become a TDR receiving zone. They all take the money to study it very willingly. They all spend the money on their planners, but very few come back and do it. And in some ways, that's a double-edged sword for us in that when towns come in to ask for approval, they know this board wants to have receiving zones. A lot of them, I think, are coming in before us and saying, well, we'll take the TDR study money, so please approve us. And I don't have any idea if they have any honest intention of being a TDR receiving zone. Who knows? So that continues to be a big challenge. And I don't know how we're going to get a bank started when we cannot set up receiving zones. And not to say we're not trying. The question becomes, at what point does the majority of the council recognize that this is not going to work? I don't know what that point is. I know I appreciate my reason why I got on the board, but we'll see. That's the big issue. With regard to the HTC purchase program, one thing that we need to be cognizant of and careful as we go through this is what is our threshold for buying credits. Every single person that can apply is going to have a wonderful and heartfelt reason why we should buy their credits. We've got to look at that from the criteria that's established in the master plan. What is important for us to buy and what properties do we not need to buy? There may be some properties that have some credits that have no value to us to purchase. That's the thing we should move forward with. And that depends on your frame of mind. If you're very much in favor of looking at the environmental impact of these properties, then that may be your criteria. If you're looking at the hardship of the individual and your heart goes out of these folks, that's another criteria. So we're going to have to sort through that as a bank board. I think that's going to be where we're going to spend some time and the serious discussion, debate, and deliberation about what it is we're looking to buy. And what are those priorities? And I think we've got several dozen people ready to apply and ask for the money. We've got to sort through and make sure we have a good understanding of what those criteria are and figure out what it is we're going to buy as a board. As a bank board, that's going to be a challenge.
So as a question, if, in the land conservation area, owners often make contributions, discount, in order to increase their priority level, especially in SADC. Is that going to be an option for SADC credits? If an owner says, okay, I'll discount 10%, I'll take
The open space matching grant program does allow that because it sets a priority based on commitment of funds. So donation of value by a property owner could be considered an additional commitment of funds. The HTC program, the value is set very formulaically by the regional master plan.
Right.
The new program does allow purchasers to sell only part of their credits for property. So,
but they can't discount.
They can't discount it. There's no ability to discount. But there could be the case where a landowner has so many credits that the bank can't afford to buy them all. They could then offer a portion of their credits for sale to the bank, and the bank could acquire those. Meanwhile, restricting the property, and the property owner keeps the remaining credits for future sale, either through a private program or reapplying to the bank. So it does allow that, in that it allows you to not only do all or nothing. So they could, and the bank, all being equal, the bank could look at that as a reason to pick one property over another.
With both of these programs, it's very reasonable for us to say to applicants both for open space and for HTC purchase, no, not now, as opposed to no, never. We may want to say no to a project first time around because we don't know what else is going to come in later. And that's a, certainly a very reasonable position to take on some of these early applications that come in until we see what the full load will be from having this around for a year or more. So as we get these, and for folks that are going to be applying, the no's maybe no, not now, maybe later. That's just a, you know, anything in tendency should be, in my opinion, done cautiously but carefully until we get a full understanding of what we're doing. So there would be some that are obvious, there would be easy choices. There'll be some that would be obvious, no choices. There'll be some that would be in the middle. We got to sort of sort those out. Yes, Ted?
A question with people who are only going to sell a portion of their credits. I mean, how's that process going to work when they initially apply? Do they have to state that?
Yes.
Because it seems like if we get towards the end and you say, okay, well, I'm only going to sell 50% or redeem 50%, how do you learn to divide the land, make the adjustments?
The land would have to be preserved or have an easement put over the entire property for the credits to be issued. They would then sell a portion of their credits to the bank and retain the remaining credits for future sale. So it's not a partial protection of the land. There's an easement across the whole county. The current application form says they have to make that request up front. There's a spot that says, how many credits are you selling? So they could put down less than what the allocation states. This is the first application round. It's possible the application may need to be modified and the application process needs to be adjusted to address that. The rule doesn't specify when that has to occur, when that declaration has to occur. So the bank could have the ability to modify when they would accept, or if they would accept an alteration in the number of credits to be sold later in the process. Obviously, that would have to be done before the bank makes a decision, and obviously before it goes to closing.
And if they decide not to exercise the sale of the full portion of credits, do we have to retain funds in case they come back in 6 months and say, you know what, I changed my mind?
No. They have the right to reapply in a future funding round if the bank has funding, and the bank would look at the same priority for the original purchase based on the underlying property. But there's nothing saying that the bank has to purchase the remaining credits. It has the ability to. They have the ability to reapply, but there's nothing binding on the bank.
Is the board here going to decide the rules that have to be played by purchasing, or is that the Highlands Council is going to decide? That seems like this is where this board got in trouble before.
It's true, and we may get ourselves in trouble again. It's going to be us.
Because the criteria, one of us probably thinks different.
And that's why we have a deliberative body that does this, and there's nothing wrong with that. The criteria is set in the regional master plan. How that criteria is then applied is obviously up to our discretion. That's why we have people with different varying backgrounds, you know, environmentalists, developers, elected officials. There's a good mix of folks here, and I'm sure together we'll come up with a consensus, or at least we'll have a majority, one way or the other. But that's why we have the commission, not just one person or staff doing this. You know, it's up to the appointed board in a public meeting, locally discussed, and we'll bring it on.
If I read the rules right, though, all the applications for HDCs or for the open space program are both going to this land preservation committee, right? And they're submitting recommendations to us? Is that how this is
done?
Yes, and I'm on that, as is Chairman Riley, and for my two cents, we would bring both the recommendations and the ones we don't recommend to the full board or council. So whether it's the HDC program, we would bring, if we had 300 applications, well, if we had 30 applications, you'd see all 30, and you see what the committee recommended. And I'm hoping that most of those committee recommendations will be easily understood and agreed upon, and the ones where there's a question, we'll discuss it. But we would not that's not my intention, to keep a rejected application from the bank board so they could override our recommendation.
Okay.
And I assume the same would hold true for the Highlands Council when it comes to the open space, but I don't have I'm not the chair of that council, so I don't have to say.
I would just add, I don't know, Jim, if I agree with the description of someone not being able to sell a credit to the bank board for less than the price that's set. I mean, it's a government agency, right? If people want to sell an asset to us for less than what we've said, you know, price is, we think we can accept that kind of a donated value. So I don't think we, yeah, it may make more sense for somebody that they don't want to hold on to the 10 credits. They want to get done with it, you know, be done with it, settle their estate, whatever, and, you know, if they have to take 10% less or something, they may want to do that. So I just think, unless there's a reason why we can't, I think we should keep that on the table.
Yeah, and I think it should be balanced on the priority list. Somebody who discounts 25% should be moved up a notch or two because advancing the value to the council.
The value is set in the regional master plan. It sets the initial value of an HDC at $16,000. Now, whether it allows for the adjustment of that value, I'm not sure. We'd have to go back and review that. I don't disagree that it's obviously would be a great way to allow the extension of that funding. However,
Jim, as attorney, but it's not the value says $64,000, and we have decided as a policy decision to set the purchase price at $16,000.
The value was never set at $64,000. The value is estimated at $64,000 in the technical report, and then was recommended to be discounted to $16,000 to allow for market to take over the purchasing. Then that was incorporated into the regional master plan. And my concern is that the regional master plan actually establishes the initial credit price at $16,000. So that's where I say, although I don't disagree with what you're saying, I think we need to go back and check with the exact wording of the regional master plan, see if it gives the bank board the ability to adjust this.
Sounds like an excellent question for our new attorney and for a topic for our next agenda, whether it's the May meeting or the August meeting, so I understand what that is.
One way to get to deal with that problem, and again, I will defer to counsel, is there's no restriction on donating, I don't think, HCC. So you could go, really, it would be the same net effect. You would sell your HDCs at, you know, full credit value, but if you donated the remaining portion to wherever, you would still end up with, you know.
It also think it would be worthwhile.
You know what I'm saying? But,
I also think it would be worthwhile to, the next time you meet, to have a presentation on the regional master plan criteria that's spelled out, so we have a full understanding and we discuss that a little more before we go into the deep dive of approving these things.
And next time we meet, we should have applications to actually review. So at the same time, much easier to review something like that when you have concrete examples.
No, I was just going to say, it may not exactly be a wash if someone is taking something as a capital gain and having to then donate something back and claiming it as a charitable contribution. It may not be a wash. It's not in landowner's best interest.
Yeah, but they did have to actually sell 30 and donate 15. Because they would ask for 530. But that, in my opinion, that should improve their ranking. I mean, just like we do in SADC, everybody, you do that, ranking goes up. And you also have to remind them that that's the contribution is deductible from their taxes. And in some places, that's valuable.
Any other questions before we go to the public?
Yeah, I think you need to, with all due respect, put the motion on the floor for the resolution.
Fair enough. Got a motion to approve the resolution authorizing to accept the application for Highlands Element Credit Bank Open Space Program.
I'll move it.
Second. Motion and second. This is a voting matter with public comments. You can comment on this resolution, and you can comment again on anything. So who is to go first? Go ahead, Hank.
Name's Hank Klump. I'm a farm landowner in Tewksbury in the Highlands Preservation Area. A couple of questions. In actually the bylaws for the Highlands, section 13 on the development was supposed to be in place 18 months, and we're no further along than we were on this thing. And also, to make this thing work, you need the receiving zone, which you brought up. Without a receiving zone, you're spinning your wheels. And when you use figures of, you know, what the land in the Highlands is worth, it's like $15 billion. And that's with a B. The other thing I've got, and I just want to check here, you said you have $19 million from public service, is that what it is? Okay. But you're going to use $9 million to start this program, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Who owns the land if you give your credits or whatever? You still own it, you don't pay any taxes on it, you still pay your taxes. What is the criteria for the rest of it?
If you sell, you sell your credits to the bank?
Yeah.
You still own the land?
Still pay taxes?
Yes. The bank owns an easement to prevent you from developing the land beyond its current state of development. And your assessment, I would presume, should go down because you've removed the ability to develop your land. But of course, your ability to develop your land has already been stricken to a large degree by the Highlands Act.
Yeah, it's done. You know, we're in a preservation area. You can't develop. You know. That's total, $19 million. That's
correct.
There's nothing, no other money.
That's correct.
We're trying to find other funds, but as of right now, that's all we have.
I mean, we're looking at $15 billion, and you got $19 million. It's like pushing water upstream. Right, Ken? All right, thanks very much. I appreciate your time. But I don't see it. I mean, this is it's ludicrous.
Who's next?
Colin Heinrich, Jersey Farm Bureau. Let's get started with it. There's going to be a lot of questions and details, but we don't know what they are until we get applications. And move ahead. And I've got some more information that I'll give you in the regular public comment.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
This law was passed in 2004. It's now 2016. This council had been flailing around since 2004, since it was the first meeting in December of 2004, has been flailing around trying to do all sorts of things except compensate the property owners. This was the original intent stated by sponsors of this legislation back in 2004. I think they were lying. I don't think that compensation was ever intended. I think it's time for you as a group to pass a resolution saying this is a failure. $19 million came as not as a result of this legislation. It came as a result of a gift from public service, which will be paid for by the ratepayers of public service. So it's time for you to just say it's not going to work. That's the honest thing to do. Try it.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else?
Terry Pekoski, I own property in Redwood. My family owns property in Redwood. I just want to remind everyone, I'm sitting here listening to you asking people to discount their property anymore. When the Highlands legislation was passed, all the value of our properties was already taken. So that's kind of the slap in the face. I'm sorry, but you know, I'm sitting here listening to that, and it's almost like, wow, okay, how much do I give me a dollar for each acre? You know, it's really hard. And the second point I just want to make is, I hear that you're trying to save money for those people that may come out of the woodwork at a later date. How about the rest of us who come to every meeting? I have to leave work early. A lot of these people here, you know, we do a lot to stay on top of it. We're on top of what we can possibly get for our property. We're trying our best. And then you're going to tell me, well, we're going to hold back $9 million because somebody else might want to sell their properties 10 years from now. So just keep that in mind. That's all I ask.
Thank you. Thank you. In fairness, I don't think anybody's suggesting that anybody should have to come and reduce their asking price. It already is reduced from $64,000 to $16,000. And we're not fully at the $9 million. We're putting forward $9 million. So everybody's understood your point. Do you want to say something, too?
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Just a question about $19 million. You actually received 18.3, I think, from PSE and GM. Just curious about the difference.
18, 19 million, what's you know.
Yeah, all right. We had some remaining funds.
Right. There's a rounding error. Okay.
Yeah, we had some remaining. No, we had some remaining funds in the
from EO114 that this bank used for previous funding rounds. There was some remaining funds because one property didn't close. So okay. That adds up to the 19, okay. Little over 19 million.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else in the public wish to comment on the resolution? Seeing none, are there any comments from the bank board? Karen?
Just one for the public. We didn't get appointed up here to bring funds to you. That's not what we were appointed to do. We would love to have the funds and be able to spend them accordingly. The legislature decided not to give enough funds, or any funds, any significant funds, to affect those harmed by this legislation. So while we may be a face that you get to come up and talk to, personally, I'm on your side, and I always have been prior to this act and since this act has passed. So this is just a small piece of what we can do, where we can get our hands on anything we can to try to rectify what small degree that we can within the powers that we're given. So recognize it for what it is. We know we're far short, far, far short from fixing any shortcomings of this act.
And I just want to add, the last thing this bank should do is stockpile a whole bunch of credits. So to have a whole bunch of money and buy all the credits out there is not the point of this. You know, we are a market regulator. We just don't have a market. And that goes to the point that's been made here. So it's a frustrating predicament, but I think at least the partnership side of this makes a lot of sense, and to get that money out and working makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Yes, please.
So at the next meeting, can we also talk about the conservation restrictions? So I saw in the rules that it had some provisions in there about what the restriction can or can't prohibit. Mm-hmm. And I just was curious as to whether the deeds of easement that were created previously, the conservation versus the farmland ones, were the same that are going to be used, or whether that might be changing. So I think it's important for the board to understand what the uses are on the land after the property is preserved.
Certainly, we can go through them. The open space matching grant program has other requirements. The HDC purchase program, they'll stay the same. So there'll still be the four types of easements. We'll bring you the samples for the next meeting, and we can go through them.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Call the roll.
Director Davis?
Yes.
Director Holtaway?
Aye.
Director Klipstein?
Yes.
Director Maglione?
Yes.
Director McElroy?
Yes.
Director Payne?
Yes.
Director Riley?
Yes.
Director Romano?
Yes.
Chairman Wall?
Yes. All right, that brings us to public comment on any issue you like. Not any issue, but any issue related to the Highlands. Go ahead, Hank.
Yeah,
before you do that, can you turn around and show everyone your jacket? Because he saw the sign, you have this in your coat, so can you start turn around and show us your jacket?
Oh, yeah.
But you're behind the podium, doesn't it? You got to step out.
All right.
There you go. Now turn around.
All right. Yeah, I won't be shy. Well, one of the things is that, Mr. Riley, one of the things that I appreciate what you said, and I know everybody probably on that council is probably doing on this bank everything they can to get us money. But in the same token, the legislators did this. You were appointees to this from the legislators.
From the governor.
Right?
From the governor. Appointed by the governor.
Okay. But you got legislative approvals, right?
I need it sent.
Send confirmation, yes.
Well, same thing, right? But here's the thing, and I've said this from day one. Every one of you guys got together and said, hey, legislators, where's the money for this? Come on. We're not going to do this anymore. These people, this thing is never going to turn around. I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime. And that's getting shorter since 204. But it's not working. And unless somebody has the guts to go back And to the legislature, whether it's Bob Smith or McCune, I think, was the other sponsor of the assembly at the time, to go back to him and say, hey, we need this, or we're not going to do this anymore. Let somebody else, put somebody else on this board. Do something. Because, you know, you're all nice people. I mean, I've got nothing against any of you. But, you know, we're not getting any. We're spinning our wheels. You know what I mean? That's my comment.
I'm happy to talk to you offline. I don't necessarily agree with that part of it, but I'll talk to you offline and why.
Okay, fantastic.
The compensation committee is made up of people with all different political stripes and opinions and predispositions that came to this to the county's council. And over the last several years we've been working on this, there's unanimity about what you just said, that this is not working. Now the question is, will those same folks who agree it's not working be willing to stand up and say it's not working? If Rob Walton, right winger, goes to Senator Smith and says this isn't working, that's just Rob Walton, right winger, who cares? But if I get everybody other members of the Highlands Council who will say the same thing, that it might carry some weight, but that's the goal.
That's the whole thing.
Understood. I mean,
well, you people, you know, we're standing here, we've got nothing. You know, I have to be the preservation here. I'm dead in the water. I mean,
thank you
very much.
Who's next?
Well, I wish it'd be that nice at the Highlands Council.
See, what a nice chairman.
But
Helen Heinrich again. I spent this morning at the Natural Resource Conservation Service Technical Committee, and I'm bringing you some information about the Regional Conservation Partner Program, which USDA pumps some $13 million a year, I think, into this program, and it's organized like your open space program in that NRCS is not getting involved in managing the properties, and they're waiting for an organization to come forward and say, we want to do this, and we've got these partners lined up. But we are interested in seeing if there isn't some way to get this to focus on the landowners in the Highlands. And some of the money is going to William Penn and some of their lands in the Highlands. Some of it's going to Conservation Foundation and some of that's in the Highlands. So there's got to be some way to turn some of that to help these landowners more. It's kind of frustrating for the farmers to realize that they just can't go to these funding agencies and say, I'm ready. We got to find a nonprofit or a government agency to do the work for them. So I think we've got some work to do, and Farm Bureau would like to help anybody that would like to look into this further. I brought you some more information about.
Thank you very much. Who's next? Go ahead, Dave.
Dave Shope, I own land in the preservation area. Integra, who did the initial work to establish Highland TDR credits, came up with an initial value of $90,000, which they reduced for presumed infrastructure costs to $64,000. This was further hacked away at by the Highlands Council staff, and finally ended up at $16,000. So from $90,000 to $16,000. Anyone who's looking for a discount, you already have it. You have it in spades. And the work is out there. It's not, you can find it if you look. The word free market was used. Not only is there no free market in the Highlands Preservation Area, there is no market. The operative mechanism to be used in the Highlands Preservation Area is death. They're waiting for us to die so that this property can be snapped up by, quote, nonprofits at a song. This is the strategy. This is the Smith-McKeon strategy, I believe, from day one. They consider this mission accomplished. They're just waiting for us to die. And what I heard today about the mechanism to go forward with TDR credits for $9 million, where you've not sold one TDR credit. Who wants a TDR credit? The TDR credits were originally combined with Corzine's executive order, where if you had land in the preservation area, if you were land that had, if you were a town that had land in the preservation area, and you opted in, you could use the quote science of the Highlands Council to preserve your planning area land, essentially mitigating the COA obligation. Well, now that COA's in such a mess, I don't know where that's at either, but it seems to me that bribe has lost its teeth. So I don't know where you're at. I've never seen such a mess in all my life. And you guys are not part of it, but you're the only ones we have to talk to. Smith and McKeon, they won't give us the time of day. They feel their job is done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else tonight? Again? Go ahead.
Boy, this is a kinder, softer chairman.
One thing I forgot. I read in Finley Heisen's newsletter that the land and water conservation money that was reorganized and reauthorized, the Highlands, what is it, $10 million, is part of that. So can this be folded into the two programs? Just to me, that's another small amount of money to add to the fund. And is anyone on the staff working on a summary of land conservation? They come out with them from time to time, and it's not all bad news. I think maybe it's time to summarize what's happening with farmland preservation, with the line of easements here, comparing the values that might set some people's minds at ease a little more. Are you going to do one? I think it's been a couple of years since. I know that's a big job, but
being worked on.
It's needed.
Thank you. Anyone else? Last call. Any other comments from council?
Just one comment. Greg was thinking what I was thinking, and that is we've been trying to see it at SADC how to maximize funds for the Highlands, and RCPP money through NRCS was one of our thoughts too, Helen. The difficulty in federal funds is that they don't honor the dual appraisal approach, right? So we're all appraising lands based on pre-Highlands values, and if you use federal money, they don't buy into that. So it creates a challenge in applying, whether it's federal farm and ranch lands money or now the RCPP money, if it comes down to land valuation, that's an obstacle. So we're there with you, though. We're trying to figure out how to use all these different potential pots of money and different funding partners to try to expand preservation opportunities. And I just want to say thank you to the council and to the bank board. I think the open space partnership program is going to be wildly successful. I'll be surprised if you're not over taxed with applications. So we look forward to working with them. With the Highlands Council to make that a success.
Very good. Bob?
You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The growth of the receiving areas are small, they're rare. We don't know really if their heart's in it. They took the municipal land use law and said, okay, every zoning ward in the state of New Jersey, you're only allowed to build 80% of what's in the ordinance unless you buy TDRs. You get to 100%. And then we would have a real high market. TDRs. So, I mean, that's the only way. You have to have a broad-based thing. It has to be marketed. It has to be everywhere. And there would be, indeed, land values would take a hit because you can only build 80%. But that value would be put back in through TDRs and be sent out to the people who really need the money and who really need to collect it. So the the amount flowing in the economy would be very, very similar. So I'm not counting on that happening.
Here's the idea. Anyone else?
It's only been 12 years, so that was
good. Our next meeting is scheduled for May. We'd like to cancel that meeting and hold the August meeting and actually make sure we meet. And when you meet the August meeting, we want to have three agenda items. Conservation restrictions, when you sell your credits, the criteria in the regional master plan by which we'll be judging the open space purchases and HDC purchases, and also a legal review of the price of $16,000 per HDC credit, so we understand that that is, whether or not that is fixed or can be discounted. Not that it already has been discounted quite substantially, but whether it be voluntarily discounted more. Anything else? Do you have a motion to adjourn then?
Sure.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we're adjourned.